Peace of the Lord be with you. Tomorrow night begins a 5-week series for anyone who's interested in exploring issues surrounding poverty. Poverty Cure is a series that a group of students, also with Nancy Smith out of the Campus Ministries office, will be hosting. It will be tomorrow night from 7 to 8 in the Freed Auditorium in the Martha Miller Center. So if you're interested in that, we want to invite you to please come out. Now I'd like to invite you to take out the book that we love and enter into the cathedral of the Christian faith, the book of Romans, where every verse is like a stained glass window that allows the light from true light to illuminate the darkness within so that we might get a vision for how to live without. I want to invite you to turn to chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all and is generous on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call upon one whom they have never believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not everyone has believed our message. For as Isaiah says, who has believed us? Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I can't remember his name, but I remember that he was kind of stocky, kind of a big guy. His shirt was always untucked. He played the guitar as he spoke, and I remember he had a big barrel laugh. And above all, I remember that he had really cool shoes. He wore these classic Stan Smiths, Adidas. Ever since then, I've always associated Adidas with cool shoes. I think he wore cool shoes because he had a cool message. I was only 13, and I was away at a retreat. And he told me something I had heard before, but for whatever reason, at this time, as a 13-year-old, I had heard it for the first time. It was a word that overwhelmed me and gripped my imagination, and it has never let me go. It was the word that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It was the word that this eternal light took time to put on flesh and walk among us. It was the word about a cross, and it was a word about a resurrection. It was a word that launched me into that wide open country of salvation. It was the word that was like a key that unlocked me from the citadel of myself, so preoccupied with my own agenda that I began to pull my eyes from my shoelaces to see a bigger horizon, the horizon of the kingdom of God. I don't remember his name, but I remember that he had good shoes. And ever since then, I've always associated the belief that Christians should always invest in good footwear, because we are people who are sent to proclaim good news. As a little guy, I heard a message, and it ignited my faith. Paul says that faith comes from what is heard. The faith that launches us into that wide open country of salvation, where we are finally free to find that narrow trail that takes us up into the high country of the Trinity, starts with what we hear. Which I think that as Christians, we need to spend some time thinking about how we hear. Do we hear listening for the word of God, or do we listen looking for fault? Looking to critique. There's a direct correlation between what we hear and what we believe. Paul says that faith comes from what is heard. I heard a message from a man, I can't remember his name, but I remember that he had good shoes. Faith ignites faith. That person had heard the message from someone else, and that person heard it from someone else, and that person heard it from someone else. Faith ignites faith. Sometimes we hear it from a family member, a mom or a dad or a cousin, an aunt or an uncle, a grandparent. Sometimes we hear it from a friend or a professor. That reading assignment that we spend all night working on because we just are so captivated by its interest. Sometimes it happens in a song. Sometimes it happens when we say the creed. Sometimes it happens in the still small voice of the Spirit as we open up the scriptures. But I'm wagering that it happens, and it happens often, if we will just lean our ear in to listen. It happens in lots of different ways from lots of different people, but it happens, which is why the church has always been considered an evangelical people. Evangelical in the sense that there is good news, and because there is good news, we need to wear good shoes. We are people sent to proclaim the good news of Jesus. Faith comes from what is heard. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a direct correlation between our faith and our salvation. And there's a direct correlation between that with what we hear. Which is why God's people are always sent out to share, to proclaim what many of us might term as evangelism. Can I make a public confession? Yeah, all right, thank you. Evangelism for a long, long, long time, and even today, if I'm honest with me, kind of fills me with anxiety. I hear that word, and sometimes I hear the Channel 22 preacher with the big hair and the gold chains saying, put your hand on the, and I'll heal you. I hear that. I have that image sometimes. I hear evangelism, and I'm taken back to when I was in a youth group culture a long, long time ago. Probably none that you had, but there, in my culture at that time, there was a lot of pressure to share the faith. There was a sense that your maturity, your worth had to do with how many people you saved. I had a youth group leader who was great and I loved him, and he would take us out onto the street and we would cold call people. He'd knock on the door and we'd have a tract ready and we'd have to hand these out to perfect strangers. Now, as a quiet, shy Norwegian 14-year-old, this filled me with dread. We would break out into groups, and I would always try to find myself alone so that I could just hide in a coffee shop until that 2 hours were over, and we'd gather back as a group, and everyone would give testimony of all the people they saved. And I'd come back, and I'd say, yeah, I saved like 56 people today. And really, I was just like hiding out. I didn't want to share my faith. I read my Bible. I prayed. I loved to worship. I wanted to live a good life, but sharing my faith with people just filled me with anxiety. And deep down, I think it wasn't because I was a shy Norwegian. Deep down, it had to do more with fear. Fear that I wouldn't have the right thing to say. That if somebody had a principled objection, I wouldn't have the right argument to convince them otherwise. I was afraid because I felt like evangelism meant that I was responsible for somebody's salvation. If I didn't say it, it wouldn't happen. And that kind of pressure just overwhelmed me. And so for a long time, I adopted that nice little phrase by Francis of Assisi. Do you know this? Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I took that as a kind of personal philosophy. And the quote is really well-meaning, and it speaks to a fundamental truth. It's calling Christians to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. It's calling us to be a people of integrity, that if we are going to follow Jesus, we need to live this out, and that's all true. But that quote that I adopted is misleading, at least on two fronts. One, to my knowledge, I cannot find any reference that Francis of Assisi ever said this. It's one of those apocryphal things that's ascribed on some poster. But maybe he did, and maybe you can find it, but I have not found the actual reference where that has been said. So it always makes me feel a little bit suspicious. St. Francis actually was a very powerful preacher, committed to a life of poverty, lived it out. But he would go from town to town and proclaim the good news of Jesus. St. Francis was a preacher. And what's dangerous about that quote is that it suggests to us that it doesn't matter what we say. It really doesn't matter what we believe. All that matters is that we live a good ethical life. But the Christian faith is sustained not just on ethics. It's sustained by revelation. Which is why I like this quote from P.T. Forsyth and said. He was an early 20th century theologian. He wrote this in the beginning of his book, Positive Preaching in the Modern Mind. He writes, "It is perhaps an overbold beginning, but I will venture to say that with its preaching, Christianity stands or falls." What he is talking about is not preaching in the pulpit per se. What he's talking about is that when we echo the words of Jesus from Scripture, when we lift up the name of Jesus, that is what ignites the faith of the church. And that ignition ignites faith, and it ignites faith. The church, to be a people of God, is always to be an evangelical people, unapologetic, unashamed to say the name of Jesus. What Forsyth is saying is that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Lord. We are sustained by revelation, and revelation comes from God. Revelation comes from the word of Jesus. Now, what does this mean for us? Here's what I'd like you to hear from me. For a long time, I thought evangelism was something that I was responsible for, that it put it all on me. But I want to encourage you to relax. Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. What is heard comes through God's act of revelation. Jesus is God's revelation in the word. Paul had a strong confidence that whenever Jesus' name was proclaimed, just saying the name of Jesus, it is an act of revelation that can ignite a faith. In other words, evangelism is not all on you. You are not responsible to save people. Jesus does the saving. But, my friends, we are called to wear good shoes. We are called to put them on and to go out into the highways and byways. We are called without shame and without fear to proclaim to all the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he has taken away the sins of the world, and that Jesus is risen and is right now at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus isn't just a myth or a metaphor. He's not just an ethical value system. He is the living King. That is what we get to share. And we trust that the Holy Spirit does the deeper work on someone's life. We don't have to be pushy or bullish, but we are called to share Jesus. And the genius of that is, that's something we all can do. You don't have to have a special degree. You don't have to be super sophisticated. You don't have to be really, really smart. You just have to be willing to grab your shoes, polish them up, and to go out and proclaim the name of Jesus. And my friends, I don't know if there's ever been a better time to do that. Never underestimate the ripple effect of simply sharing your faith with someone else. Who knows? Maybe a 13-year-old will overhear you. And maybe his mind will be captivated and will set him on a whole new trajectory. You don't have to have all the right words. You just have to have faith. My friends, in faith, go in peace.